Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia. Our podcast, Talking About Vandalia with Mayor Doug Knable, is brought to you in part by F&B Community Bank, Heck Chevrolet, Joe's Pizza and Pasta in Vandalia, and Kaskaskia Supply and Rental. On to our podcast this week, and you know, we've talked a lot about the water bill situation. It was addressed further by the Water and Sewer Committee on Monday, and of course, this has involved a lot of feedback from landlords in the community, and of course, you pulled back the one change and to have more discussion. But I think it felt like after Monday's meeting that most people were receptive to the ideas you guys have had.
Yeah, I think this is an example of the process working the way it should. So we made a decision. We got some pushback initially from the community, the landlord community. I pulled it back, and so we reconsidered it. We at the city came up with some ideas we thought could help address the problem, and then met with the landlords on Monday night at the committee meeting, got their input. And I think at the end we're getting to the solution, right? Which is, again, I want to state that, the issue that we have, it's an issue. And the whole purpose of this is to try to avoid it from becoming a bigger issue. We throw out the numbers. We collect $2.5 million a year in water revenue. Our past dues, I think our allowance for doubtful accounts or bad debts, like $12,000. So if you're running a business, that's a great percentage. I mean, you'd get hired to be a CFO of most companies if you had those kind of numbers. But it's these one-off situations that are very, very rare that that could potentially be a $1,500 to $2,000 water bill that we're trying to avoid. And then the landlord's concern was, well, is that going to fall back on us? Because the way the ordinance was potentially written, that it could have. So at the end of the day, got input from the community and, came up with some solutions. And so specifically, what is going to be presented at the next council meeting is, effective January 1st, if you're a tenant, you're actually going to enter into a water agreement with the city where it does a couple things. One, it's going to allow us to notify landlords if you're, 30 days past due. If you're a tenant and your water bill's past due, then your landlord is going to be notified of that. And then also, we're also going to notify landlords in situations where we see increased usage, 50% or more than you used, maybe the previous month. We do that now. So if I've got a leak that I'm not aware of and my water usage is up, the city will call me. But I own the property, right? The issue here is that, with the landlords and tenants, the landlords maybe aren't aware of it. So, and the other thing we are going to do is just ask the landlords to give us notification, one, when people move in, so we know that it's okay. Todd, if I rent your house, you're going to call the city and say, "Hey, Doug Knable is going to rent my house. And, it's okay to turn on the water. And then we're going to collect the deposit like we have." And then on the other end of it, when I move out, you're going to notify the city. So we know to either, one, go shut the water off or put the water in the landlord's name. All of this, we think, will address the issues that we have had. And again, I just want to stress to everyone, we don't have a major problem here, but we're just trying to avoid it from becoming a bigger problem in the future.
And you had, and like was talked about at the meeting on Monday, like you said, it's not a big problem. It's not a lot, but when it is a problem, it can be a pretty big dollar amount.
Yeah, we've had rare situations where a water bill, because we weren't aware of a leak or a situation, maybe didn't know if people weren't there, it became, up to, $2,500, $3,000. That's what we're trying to avoid. Believe me, I keep saying this about our staff, but, and Carla and Renee and everybody up there, that water usage is personal to them. They don't want to waste a single drop of water. They're trying to be good stewards of everybody's, not only their money, but their resources in the form of water. So they do a great job of collecting bills. It's not really a collection issue. Again, we collect well over 99.9% of the money that's due us. We work out payment plans, all those things. So they do a great job there. This is just really to avoid the very rare one-off instances where there's going to be, a significant water usage issue.
I thought one thing that came out of it, you charge $200 deposit, and you found that that is at least equal, but above a lot of communities around. So you're covering the city pretty well on that front too.
Yeah. So we looked around. I mean, we looked at Greenville, Effingham. There's a couple other communities that Carlos called around to. I think there was four or five of them she mentioned. There was only one community that was higher, and I think, I can't remember which community it was, charged $350 as a deposit. You know, and that $200, we talked about that too. Do we need to raise that? You know, $200 is a lot of money. And when you figure the minimum water bill, I believe, with trash and sewer is $54 or $55, $200 really should cover it. And again, historically it has. So we're not wanting to put any additional burdens on people. You know, we understand, you know, rent goes up, utilities go up, all that stuff goes up. So, you know, we just want to make sure we address the issue. We think the $200 is going to be enough. We discussed maybe raising the commercial, you know, because they tend to use a little bit more water. But I think we have to rethink that based on some feedback that we got from some of the people in the audience the other night as well. So, you know, we'll come up with a more, you know, formal plan regarding that in the future. But I just want to thank everyone. Again, this is, again, an example of the process working. And I appreciate all the landlords' input. I think we're collectively, we've gotten to where we need to be. And you know, we're going to avoid a bigger problem in the issue in the future.
I did think it was interesting too, and I do know this is the case. There are communities that this falls on the landlord's shoulders. It's no question. So this is being a very pro-business, proactive from the city.
Yeah, as our city attorney said, I mean, this is really, our ordinance is unique, because if you go to other communities around us, ultimately the water bill goes with the property, whether it's owner-occupied or not. And that was the whole crux of the issue, is our ordinance says owner occupied. So that's what we were trying to fix to address these one-off issues. But we even had a couple of landlords say that, yeah, hey, I've got property in Belleville. I realize that it's on me. So again, we're not trying to create additional burden, you know, for the landlords. We're just asking for their help and their cooperation. And everybody at the meeting the other night, you know, indicated, at least seemed to me, came away from it feeling better about it. All they got to do is give us notification. They do that. In essence, they're kind of off the hook. So because we're going to be able to address it at that time.
And it's, you know, this is, we kind of talked about it last week when it comes to economic development. Housing is one of those
things.
A
big part of it.
And
yep.
If you've got happy landlords that want to be in town and want to, you know, rent to people here, that's going to help going down the road.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, it's economic development. It's almost community development. Those go hand in hand. Housing is at the forefront of that. You know, you hear a lot of people say it's hard to find places, good places to rent. You hear landlords saying it's hard to find good renters, right? So, you know, this, if we can avoid little things like this and put, you know, things in place that aren't too onerous, you know, on people, again, we don't want to raise fees too much, but at the same time, we want to make sure that we've got, you know, resolutions for problems that could arise, with the ultimate goal of giving people access to quality, affordable type housing in the community, then everybody wins.
It's always a balancing act, isn't it?
It is. And if there's been a lesson learned in the first 120 days, it is, there is a balance. And, you know, again, there's always another side of the story, right? And you need to listen to both sides, because I even said this kind of during the campaign, sometimes the answer's in the middle.
Absolutely. So, you know, kind of talking about that and then moving on to tourism a little bit. The boat races are coming up here pretty quickly. I think the city's ready, the lake's ready. I think you're ready to go next weekend.
Yeah, Scott and Letitia, Scott Workman, our lake manager, and Letitia, our city administrator, went down Friday. They're having they had the boat races in Centralia. They went down, met with all the the racers, and came away. Both of them came away very excited about the potential. I mean, it seems like the group that's coming up is excited about coming to Vandalia. A lot of them travel from all over. Some of them actually will be keeping their trailers in the area. And, you know, if I live in Texas, I'm not going to haul my boat back if I'm going to be in Vandalia, you know, the weekend after Labor Day. So, you know, yeah, and I think there's been a lot of promotion. We're going to do even more promotion between now and next weekend. I know the Chamber has been involved in trying to help promote this event as well. Just hoping for a great weekend. Encourage people to come out and watch it. There'll be food trucks. I've had people who have lots on the lake, you know, asking if they can go watch them on the water. You know, you can. Now there's going to be, you can't get very close. And obviously these boats are one person vessels, right? They go pretty quick, but they can't have any wake at all. Right. So for safety reasons, this has the potential to be something really nice. I think can become a, you know, this is the last event in this circuit's calendar year. So this will be, I was joking the other night, we're going to call it the Super Bowl of this racing. You know, it's a great way to finish. But yeah, we're really excited about it. I think we're prepared, and hope people show up to enjoy it.
Just hope this weather holds one more week.
Yeah, you said it. I wasn't going to bring up the weather, but yeah, I mean, a weekend like forecast this weekend would be really, really nice.
So economic development with Amber hired, that'll get rolling pretty quickly. So definitely feel great about that part of it. Well, we talked about one thing that we kind of mentioned off and on a little bit is the difference between trying to hit the home run with economic development, which, you know, maybe not going to happen in the state of Illinois, but retention, expansion, and expanding on what you have is really the best place to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think from our standpoint in a community like Vandalia, it's about business retention. It's keeping the businesses that you have here, because that's where your expansion is going to get. I've used this number several times in the past. 80 to 85% of your increase in jobs in a community come from within. So it's getting around to those existing businesses, seeing what their needs are, you know, seeing how they're doing. And again, workforce is a big part of it, right? You know, and where we are well positioned is we have Ocal, we have Kaskaskia. So, you know, we have these workforce programs that we just, maybe we need to, you know, communicate with these businesses and say, you know, what do you need? You know, can we maybe tailor a program at one of these two great institutions that we have right here located in Vandalia, you know, to meet their employment needs? So, you know, there are jobs available. I mean, and that's another thing too, is letting us, maybe we got to do a better job of getting that information out, because, you know, you do see a lot on social media. Hey, is anybody aware of jobs? And then people say, well, yeah, this place. So is there a way we can collectively get that information kind of in one spot where people can, you know, kind of look and see what they're finding?
So a water treatment plant, I assume we're close.
Yeah, groundbreaking. Well, they were saying groundbreaking maybe by the end of the month. It's August, what is this, the 27th. Probably not going to happen this month, but or hopefully early in September. So yeah, moving along, should be finalizing the financing of that, the interim financing here in the next week or so. So yeah, we will have a groundbreaking, an official kickoff. We may see a little bit of work going out there before we actually have the groundbreaking. But yes, that's the contractors ready to get started. You know, and so there's a lot that they would like to get going before winter hits. So yeah, I would think in the next week or two, you'll see some activity out there.
So obviously a huge step in infrastructure right there. New water treatment plant, that's going to be huge, going to be able to pump more water, or do a lot of things. In your mind, having been in the position for a few months now and seeing things, what do you think next? What do you think the needs are for the community infrastructure-wise going forward? What's the biggest need you think?
Well, I think it's, again, the two things you hear, I mean, is water. Obviously, we've talked a lot about that. But roads, I mean, that roads are probably the one thing you hear more comments and quote-unquote concerns about. So, you know, it's working with James and our road crew. You know, again, it's back to planning. You know, what are we doing? You know, and then looking at our budget and seeing what areas we, you know, we can improve. You know, again, grants are on a cycle, and you can only apply, you know, so often, and you know, and then you're, you know, you may get it or you may not, but it doesn't mean that the problems go away. So, you know, I think as part of the comprehensive plan, you know, as we, you know, as we dig more into that, is, you know, what are our needs? What are, you know, creating a priority list and then seeing what ways we can possibly fund them. Is this something that is going to take IDOT funding or some type of grant funding, or is it something that we within our annual budget can try to address? Again, we're not going to be able to fix everything at once. We're going to have to phase things in. But again, I think it's just about being proactive and making sure that we have a schedule to address those. And again, roads are there. Water lines, we discussed the other night. You know, we've got a new water line project in the works from Jefferson 1st through 5th Street. You know, the initial bids came in a little higher than what we'd anticipated. So there was about a $400,000 gap that we may have to fund as a city. And, you know, and Letitia's digging through the reserves, seeing we think we can do this. We're pretty confident that we can do that. We're going to actually decide this at the next meeting. But yeah, so water lines and roads are really the two big areas.
And you know, with the water line situation, this is a historic community. Yes. It's, you know, so there are lines that have been here a long, long time. yes, a lot have been replaced, but that's always going to be something you're kind of working on.
Right. Honestly. Yeah. Well, in conjunction with the water plant. So we've got, you know, we got new, so our line's going to be able to withstand some of what we're going to do here. And so, yeah, the challenge is to replace them, doing it on a systematic, phased in approach. You know, we've talked about Randolph Street specifically there by Andy Craig's warehouse. We know there's an issue there. You know, there's not right now, there's not a grant. We could apply for a grant. We think that's going to cost about $1 million, you know, but that's maybe 2 years away by the time it all cycles out. But in the meantime, something else has cropped up that we may have to address. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, water lines, this is an older community. And we're absolutely going to have to take a phase-in approach and, you know, do it as we can.
Everything costs $1 million.
Well, and it's not getting any cheaper. And that was my point the other night. I realized this initial bid came in higher than what we'd anticipated, but it's not going to get any cheaper. You know, if we and the problem is still there. So, you know, and hopefully if we do it and we do it the right way, we've addressed a problem that we won't have to address for another 30 or 40 years. And if we wait 4 or 5 years from now, that $1.9 million could be, you know, $2.5 million. Heck, it could be $3 million. So, yeah, we just got to, you know, again, tackle these problems as we can and, you know, try to still be mindful it's taxpayer money and spend it the right way.
Again, thank you for listening to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia with Mayor Doug Knable. This podcast is brought to you in part by F&B Community Bank, Heck Chevrolet, Joe's Pizza and Pasta in Vandalia, and Kaskaskia Supply and Rental. You can find all of our podcasts under our podcast tab on our website at vandaliaradio.com.